Inshallah, a brief lesson of tafsir will take place, the explanation of Surah Al-Kahf. So inshallah, brothers, to participate, inshallah, it's beneficial. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. Last week I recited through these ayahs, this part of Surah Al-Kahf, this section of Surah Al-Kahf where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an example, or some examples, one example, and then Allah ta'ala mentions another example. As we've understood, this surah, Surah Al-Kahf, is a surah which consists of different stories and different parables and different examples from which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to draw lessons through which we can benefit ourselves, get closer to Allah ta'ala, understand the purpose of life. In the Quran, Allah ta'ala mentions, وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. In this Quran, we have mentioned many types of examples for people so that they may reflect, they may understand. And subhanAllah, this is why the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in a manner teaching us how to teach, teaching us how to explain. When you speak to people, don't just tell them, Quran says this, hadith says this, but speak on their level. So Allah ta'ala is the Quran. Allah ta'ala can tell us, do this, this is right, this is wrong, this is fard, this is wajib, this needs to be avoided, this needs to be done, the commands and the prohibitions. But no, Allah ta'ala speaks in a manner making it very convincing for us, bringing examples. You know, if I'm talking to someone, speak on their level, I'll give an example. Imagine if a person does this, and I give an example. Because that example will bring that theme, that message closer to the mind of the person. It'll make it easier for them to understand. So similarly, Allah Ta'ala gives many examples. So this next few ayahs is an example, which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is narrating in the Qur'an. I'll recite through the ayahs again, I did also already last week, but... أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا كِلْتَا الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَنْ تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رددت إلى ربي لأجدن خيرا منها منقلبا. صدق الله العظيم. I'll just do these ayat and then if I have time we'll move on inshallah. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explain to them, explain to the ummah, give your people a message, an example. Example of Rajulain, two people. Mention to them the example of two people. جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابِ. We had made, or we had granted one of those two people a garden, two gardens, jannatain, two gardens, min a'nabin, which were filled with grape vines. You don't say grape trees, grapes grow on vines. وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ, and we had surrounded and made the boundaries of those two gardens date palms. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا, and in between those two orchards, or those two gardens, which were filled with grapes, in between that we had made an additional land for harvest and crops. So that's the background. Ulama say, either there were two brothers in the time of the Banu Israel, two brothers. Or it makes sense more for them to be two friends in the time of Banu Israel. And one of those brothers, one of those friends, he was a pious man, he was a God-fearing man. And what had happened was they had a shared business. And they sold the business, and from the business they made 6,000 golden coins. 6,000 gold coins, dinars. One of the partners had taken 3,000, the other partner took 3,000. So the pious man, the God-fearing man, with his 3,000, with 1,000, he freed loads and loads and loads and loads of slaves. Lots of slaves he freed. With another 1,000 dinars, many poor people who didn't have clothes, who didn't have food, he fed them. And with the third 1,000 dinars, he built lots of, you know, inns for travelers, you know, people who are traveling, what they call musafir khana, guest house. People who are traveling, he just for free of charge, he built lots of inns. Because in those days, roads would be very long, journeys would be very long, and there wouldn't be like nowadays, mashallah, you're driving, you have service stations, and you have this and that, you can stop over. In those days, long, long journeys, many times a person would run out of supplies, and they would have nowhere to refuel and to restock. So some kind-hearted people would come, and they would build something free of charge just there, a place of rest, even a place of shelter. And then there'd be flowing water there, they would make arrangements for a well to be dug there, etc. So he did that. So he used all of his share for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Didn't leave a penny behind. Now, while passed in this manner, and what the other partner did was, with 1,000, and there's different, you know, in the books of tafsir they mention, with 1,000, mashallah, he got married. And he spent it lavishly on like a huge wedding. And he married someone of that stature that he could, you know, he had to spend that type of money on them. And then with another 1,000, he purchased lots of properties. With another 1,000, he bought, you know, many expensive animals, cows, sheep, camels, etc., that could bear children. And then he got them, you know, he made them mate and have many other, you know, animals like this. So he had so much cattle, he had so much properties, and he had, mashallah, he was happily married, everything. Now this first partner, who was a Muslim, he fell into some difficulties, financial difficulties. So he thought to himself, you know, my old business partner, mashallah, he's doing very well. So why don't I go to him, see if he's got some odd jobs for me that I can do. So this was his mindset. I'm going through some financial difficulties. He didn't think he was beneath himself. He went to this business partner. And he said, do you have anything, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed you. You've got gardens, you've got orchards. Is there any jobs you have for me that I can do? So this second partner said, what did you do with all the wealth that you had? He said, I sent it all for my akhirah. I've spent it all for my hereafter. So this person said, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? Are you in the books that he said, are you, you know, safahta anta? Have you gone mad? Have you gone crazy? Are you, you know, we'd use a more crude term in English. What's wrong with you? Why would you do this? And then this dialogue happened. So he was trying to rub it in the face of the Muslim person that you spent all of it for the akhirah. You don't even know if you're going to get there. You don't even know if there's a Jannah. Why would you take all your money and spend it for the hereafter? And he was saying to the brother, I'm not even convinced of the hereafter. And you spend all of your money and everything that you have on something which you've never seen, which you don't even know for certain to be true. This is what he said. And then he started taking him around and saying, well, look what I've done with my money. Look at my gardens, look at my orchards, look how wealthy I am, look how much I have in this world. So this is the incident. So Allah Ta'ala says, two partners. جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ. One of these partners, one of these two men, we had granted them, we had given them jannatain, two gardens, two vineyards. Maybe it's a vineyard, or is vineyard for making wine? Yeah, so possibly another example. But two gardens which were filled with grape vines. So subhanAllah, just that in and of itself is a huge blessing. Nowadays we don't appreciate it, it's all money, isn't it? When you go back home and there's farmers, etc., their whole wealth is whatever they harvest, whatever they farm. So this person, imagine just having one orchard which was filled with dates, filled with grapes. That in and of itself is a huge blessing. That's your livelihood sorted. He had two orchards. And that wasn't enough. Surrounding them, Allah Ta'ala had made it such that there were date palms. We're talking about hundreds of date trees that were surrounding both the orchards. And they were filled with, you know, fresh, ripe dates that would grow on them. And in between the two gardens, there was a plot in which crops, wheat, barley, so not just fruits and veg, but also his food, bread, whatever he needed, everything would grow there. And everything was lush and fertile and everything was growing. And subhanAllah, when a farmer, what's his biggest fear? There'll be no rainfall. If there's no rainfall, the crops won't grow, the crops will die. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا. So Allah Ta'ala explains, I'll mention, كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ, both of these two gardens, آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا, they would always bear fruit. There would never be a season where these crops, these trees would not bear fruit. Allah Ta'ala is saying, I was doing this for him. Who gives this rizq? It's Allah Ta'ala. وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. These gardens would never be stingy in regards to anything. Meaning the gardens would never not give him. The gardens were always producing whatever he needed. وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا. And between both of these orchards, we had caused a spring of water to gush out from the ground. So there was an irrigation system there. That the water, he didn't have to wait for rainfall. If there was no rainfall, then crops would not grow elsewhere. But he had a stream that was flowing through both of his gardens that was naturally irrigating both of his gardens. So his gardens were always lush and fertile. SubhanAllah, always filled with produce. وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرْ. Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرْ. And he had many other types of fruits. Some ulama say, fruits here means he had many other types of gardens, etc. But a more accurate opinion, Allah Majarul Azamakhshari has mentioned in Kashaf, is that thamar in the Arabic word, although thamar means fruits, thamar, plural is athmar, it means fruits. But Allah Majarul Azamakhshari mentions, athmar, the Arabs have used the word thamarun to refer to wealth as well, wealth. So they say that وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرْ, he also had many other different types of wealth. Gold and silver and all, many other different types of wealth Allah Ta'ala is saying we blessed him with. This wasn't it. This wasn't everything that he had. He had many other different types of wealth. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, is setting the scene that this is, was his state, right? فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ. So he took his friend around and he said, look, I've got this. Look, I've got this. Look, I've got this. So what did you do, foolish man? Why would you spend all your money hereafter? Why would you not do something like what I've done? So you know the short-sightedness, and the ulama draw this point, the short-sightedness of the people of the world, people who have love of this world, all they understand is what's in front of them. They can't comprehend. Why are you... You know, we understand charity when it doesn't impact us, it doesn't affect us. Give charity as long as you can live life fully, to the max. Give charity, that's okay. If your charity is going to affect your standard of living, why would you do that? You only live once. You live your life to... No, but this charity is for my true life of the hereafter. This charity is so that Allah is kind towards me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy falls upon me. Me, my children, my family, all blessed. The pious people understand this point. Even if charity means that everything goes from my hand, Allah will still bless me with double. But the people of dunya, what they understand is, give charity as long as you don't feel it at all. Give a pound, 2 pounds, 3 pounds, 5 pounds. Oh, I might need it. Might need it. Take away, burger and chips cost 5 pounds. This is the way shaitan makes us think. Anytime it's gone, it's nothing. You know, people go on one meal out and they spend 100 pounds. When it comes to giving 10 pounds in charity, oh, maybe I could use it here, I could use it there, I haven't fueled up yet, I might need it to fuel up. Shaitan makes us feel that I shouldn't part with it. If in any way, shape or form it's going to cause me any kind of inconvenience, I shouldn't part with it. Right? فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ. So he said to his companion, وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ, as he was talking with him, discussing with him, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. Look at you, you've spent all your money, you've got nothing left. Have a look at me. I have so much more money than you. أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا My friends and my company and the company that I keep are also much more respectable than your friends. Right? So this was something of great importance to him. First of all, the money that he has. Secondly, the company that he keeps, his friend circle. I've got links, I've got connections with all the wealthy people, the noble people. You don't have anybody to support you. What he's trying to say is, if anything happens to me, I've got backup, my friends. And this is, many wealthy people do that, right? If anything finishes, I've got all the contacts. I've got all the people who can sort me out. I can borrow from this person, I can take a loan from this person, I can do this from here, and I can get back to the state that I am in overnight, very easily. You know, they say, isn't it, to a rich person, what would happen if you lost your millions overnight? Don't worry, I could get rich by tomorrow because I've got all the contacts. And they regard this as a source of their strength. So this is what this person is saying. أَنَا أَعَزُّ مِنْكَ مَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَا لَا I have so much more wealth than you. And وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا My friends and my company is much more respectable than yours. I am greater than you in wealth and stronger in manpower. وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ And then he entered into his garden. Garden? Here, Jannah, here referring to the whole thing. It's like when we go to Jannah. Inshallah. Whenever a believer goes to Jannah, he won't be given one small garden. He's going to be given gardens and gardens and gardens. But we just say Jannah. Wallah, grant me Jannah. But in that Jannah, there's going to be so many different types of gardens. So here similarly, although he had two gardens, and then he had date trees, and then he had the harvest, and he had all of this, but Allah Ta'ala is mentioning all of that, or combining all of that into the word Jannah. وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ And he entered into his garden. وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ Whereas he had wronged himself. ظالم لنفسي, to wrong oneself by sinning, by disobeying Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. Oh Allah, I have wronged myself excessively. We read this in Salah, isn't it? But then I realized the other day when many people don't read it in Salah. They read Rabbi ja'alni muqim as-salati wa min dhurriyyati. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi. This is something the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us in so many different ways. The dua of Sayyidina Yunus Alayhi Salam. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. I am from the wronged, the oppressors. Zulm is oppression. I have oppressed myself. I have wronged myself. If I obeyed Allah Ta'ala, I am doing the best for myself. Because if I obey Allah, Allah will give me everything. If I disobey Allah, I'm wronging myself. I'm going to be the one who loses out. I'm going to be the one who suffers. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ He was wronging himself, oppressing himself. He entered into his garden. The ulama say, because he wasn't even just on the level of fisq and sin, he was on the level of kufr. His, you know, love of the world had taken him to such a level where he was not even convinced of the akhirah. He'd heard of it. People talk about it. And sadly, this can be the case for many Muslims nowadays. We know there's Jannah and Jahannam. We don't want to do anything for it. It's not very real. What's real to us is the materialistic things in front of our eyes. That's not real. It's like a vague thing there. Salah, worship of Allah, staying away from sin, stay away from haram. Yeah, but if I do that, I won't be able to get the house that I really want. I won't be able to get the car that I really want. I won't be able to buy this for my wife and do this for my children and do that. Leave it, you know, maybe in the future. There's no strength, there's no fear of Allah, there's no concern that today could be my last day. There's no concern about staying away from things which Allah has made impermissible. So when he entered his gardens, he looked at everything, he was so, mashallah, pleased with himself. And he said, مَا أَظُنُّ I don't think أَنْتَ بِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا That these things, هَذِهِ These gardens, this wealth, this things Allah has given me, تَبِيدَ To finish. I don't think that they will ever finish. I think I'll always have them. I'm such a wealthy person. I've had this for so many years of my life. I think I'll always have this wealth. Right? And sadly, this is the short-sightedness. And it's lack of intelligence as well. Because intelligence tells you what? Everyone who came before you, where have they gone? Where's all their millions and all their wealth and all their billions and all their buildings and all their properties and yachts and ships and... Where's everything? It's all gone. So your aqal, intelligence will tell you, if that happened to them, it will happen to me. But shaitan puts a barrier, hijab on our aqal. You can't even think straight. You're so blinded by the love of the things that you have in front of you, you can't even see beyond that. Allah protect us. مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا I don't think these will ever finish. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا You know what? You know what? مَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا I don't even think the Day of Judgment is going to happen. I don't think it's even real. Yeah, it's just something people say. So what he's saying is, from what he's saying, it seems like he's aware of it. He's aware of the Day of Judgment. That's why would he say about the, talk about the day of judgment, isn't it? He's aware, okay, people talk about we will die and there will be a day of judgment. But he's saying, I am so rich and so wealthy and my life is so blissful. I don't think the day of judgment is even a real thing. وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي However, if there is a day of judgment and I am returned back to my Rabb, لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا Then I will find my Rabb will give me so much better than whatever I have in this dunya. Delusions of grandeur. Delusions of grandeur. That if I am so rich in this world, it means Allah loves me. Allah loves me so much, Allah has made me rich here. If Allah has made me rich here, when I die, Allah is going to be happy with me. He's going to give me more over there. Look at his level, right? And this again is one of the harms of wealth and love of dunya. A person starts going into this delusion where you think, you know what? I know I don't read salah. I know I don't fast in Ramadan. But if Allah really didn't like me, he would have destroyed me. He doesn't. I'm still so rich. I'm still richer than all these people who read all namaz and all of that. I'm still richer than all these people who have beards and do this and that. Allah's still on my side. And this is one of the problems of this day and age where people disobey Allah Ta'ala, but then they say, no, Allah will help me. And then they do haram and say, Allah wants me to do that, that's why he didn't stop me from doing it. Na'udhu billah. People will go to, I don't know, you know, court. And the judge will pass a decision and they will say, yes, the Muslims, they didn't help me, so Allah made the non-Muslims help me. One way or the other, minds become so sadly, so messed up that we then start saying whatever happens is Allah helping me. Even if I do everything wrong and Islamically wrong, it doesn't matter, Allah is helping me. So this is what he's saying. The wealth has deluded him so much, he thinks he's Allah's favorite. Allah loves me, that's why he's giving me wealth. And it's a problem of today ki Allah Ta'ala ne jisko maal diya hai wo samajhta hai ki Allah mujhse mohabbat karte hai. Jis shakhs ko maal nahi diya, bichara wo baaz dafa samajhta hai ki Allah mujhse mohabbat nahi karte, isliye Allah ne mujhe kuch nahi diya. We have this thing, sadly. But if we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we look at the Sahaba and we look at the pious people, they didn't have nothing. Nothing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived, if you had a ladder of poverty, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be on the lowest rung in terms of worldly possessions. He had nothing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, they had like a few items in his house, a bowl, a piece of clothing item, the stuff that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam carried, basic few household items. Nothing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left nothing. And they wouldn't care about it. There was no love for dunya at all in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba ridwanullahi ajma'in. Sayyidina Uwais al-Qarni rahmatullahi alayhi, great saint of Allah, every night, whatever food he would have, whatever extra clothing he would have, whatever extra money he would have, he would give it all in charity every night. He would have nothing left by night time. And on top of that, you know what he would do? He would make dua to Allah and say, Ya Allah, if there is anyone hungry today, please don't punish me for that. If there is anyone without clothes, Ya Allah, please don't take me to task for it. Because whatever I had, I have given it away. I have nothing left to give. Every night. All of the pious people understood, had such detachment from things of this dunya that they were so willing to separate themselves from it. Right? And they realized that wealth, possession, rather they were scared of money, scared of wealth. I was listening yesterday, you know, Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, Mawlana Yahya Sahib, these great scholars of India, they would teach hadith and Quran for many, many years and they would take no salary, no wage, and they would struggle. They would live in a very, very meager, simplistic lifestyle. If they would take a wage, you'd be amazed. 15 rupees in the whole month. Such a low level of income, but there was no, you know, regard for dunya, concern for dunya. And if there was too much dunya, then fear would start coming in their heart. Ya Allah, so much money, what am I going to do with it? I've got nowhere to spend. They'll start calculating. Okay, I only need... It's like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His wife once said to him, it's been a long time, we haven't had any sweet dish at home. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq said, look, I can't get any more money. I've got this fixed amount that I take from the public treasury. That's all I can use. I'm not going to take another penny. She said, look, it's fine. What if I, from that money that you get, could save a little bit, then could we get... He said, that's fine, you see if you can save any money. So she saved, you know. It's very constricted, very difficult. But she saved a little amount. She said, look, I've saved this money. This money is extra. We can buy something sweet with it. What did he do? He took the money and put it back in the public treasury. He said, if it's extra, then that means we don't need it. If we don't need it, then why am I taking this from the wealth of the Muslims? Such fear, such concern. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. This is such a, you know, reality, stark reality. People of Allah, they don't have any love of dunya. And the people of dunya, whatever they have is not enough, more and more and more and more and more. And it's never enough. And still stress and tension and concern. They, Allah, I need more. I can't do this. I want to buy this. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. In the hadith, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? مَنْ كَانَتِ الْآخِرَةُ نِيَّتَهُ جَمَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَمْرَهُ وَجَعَلْ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةُ. Whoever's intention is always akhirat. Allah, Allah razi lahi, Allah razi lahi, Allah. Allah has to be pleased with me, Allah has to be pleased with me. جَمَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Allah gathers all of their affairs, Allah makes all their affairs easy. وَجَعَلْ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. Allah places contentment in their heart. Whatever they have, they're always happy. وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا. The dunya will come to them, وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةٌ, in a disgraced manner. The dunya will fall at their feet. And they will say, I don't want you. Kick it away. However, وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّةٌ. Whoever's concerned is world. I need more money, I need more money, I need more time, more time, more time. Advising one of my relatives yesterday, how much time are you going to give to your job? You've got no time to read Quran. You've got no time to do dhikr. How many salahs a day can you read with jamaat? How many... Your whole time, all your, you know, life is going work, 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 work. Where is your akhirah there? What are you doing for your akhirah? Finish the day job and then come and then start the night shift, do that, and then there's no time. You're sleeping, eating, and then running back to work. What kind of life is this? مَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّةٌ. Whoever's concern is dunya, فَرَّقَ اللَّهُ أَمْرَهُ. Allah will scatter all their affairs. Trying to sort this one out, this one will pop up. Trying to sort this one out, that one will pop up. وَجَعَلْ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنِ عَيْنِي. Allah will keep poverty in front of his eyes at all times. You know, money's going to run out. وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهَا. And whatever he will get from the dunya is whatever Allah had already written for him. He's not going to get a penny more than that with all of his running around. So what's this man saying? وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. وَلَئِنْ رُجِعْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. What's the other ayah? وَلَئِنْ رُجِعْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي إِنَّ لِي عِنْدَهُ لَلْحُسْنَى. Right? In another ayah of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala, same, this type of talk is universal. I'm not scared of Jannah and Jahannam. I'm not scared of Akhirah. Allah is so kind to me. Allah gives me everything here. Because Allah loves me. Because I'm so amazing. I'm so amazing. I'm so good. I'm so special. Allah loves me. He's given me so much. If anything happens in the hereafter, and that's why when the atheists and these people with such arrogance are asked, what will you say if you meet God? What if you die and you see there's a God there, what will you say? He'll say, I'll say to God this and that. I will tell him like this and tell him like... They have such audacity. It's delusion. Shaitan blinds the mind. So and elsewhere in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَئِنْ رُجِعْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي إِنَّ لِي عِنْدَهُ لَلْحُسْنَى. Even if I am returned back to Allah, over there I will find husna. So many amazing things there. I'm not scared. I'm not scared. I don't have no fear. Allah loves me. He loves me here. He's going to love me there. I'm so special here. I'm going to be so special there. I'm better than all of you people. Uneducated, illiterate people. You know, all you guys are good for is banging your head on the floor. Or tasbih, tasbih, tasbih. You guys are not good for nothing else. I'm the educated, hardworking person. I'm doing it here. If anything happens over there, I'm fine over there as well. Arrogance. Yeah? So much confidence in a person's own abilities. Whereas Allah Ta'ala despises this. Allah Ta'ala does not want to see in us confidence in our abilities. Allah wants to see in us reliance on Him entirely and saying, I'm not able to do anything. قَالَ لَهُ صَحْبَةٌ. When his colleague, his companion who was with him, he heard all of this, he's like, what is my friend talking about? He's lost the plot. You know, what is he saying? He's got all this wealth and all of this and he's totally lost his mind. He thinks that it all goes with him. How can he cause water to irrigate the ground? How can he cause all these things to grow? All he can do is plant the seed, isn't it? It's like people say, have children. Oh, astaghfirullah, it's a very sad thing, but I've heard this, that's what I'm saying. I've heard it, Muslim people saying, oh, you know, you created this amazing child. Or you made this amazing son. You made this amazing daughter. They're trying to say that you, husband and wife, made something. What did husband and wife do? Nothing. Who did all of the making, the fashioning, the designing, the creating, everything and create? Allah Ta'ala. We say, you two made it. Your child, my child. Allah gave it. I did nothing. Allah Ta'ala created the whole thing. And subhanAllah, so amazingly. One of the most amazing things, this is when a person goes into the labor ward and sees a child being born. Think, subhanAllah. This is one of the clearest ways a person is Allah's Qudra. Look at this child, this baby. Where did it come from? Fully formed, all the limbs, subhanAllah. Only Allah Ta'ala can do this. So his friend heard all of this. قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ, his companion said to him, وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُ, as he was talking to him, whilst he was conversing with him, talking to him, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. Are you disbelieving? The words that you are saying can lead you to kufr, disbelief. That's how dreadful they are. So many Muslims say these type of words. You know? Such, you know, like, there's no concern for akhirah, for deen, the importance of how you have to be careful when you use your mouth. This is why in the books of fiqh, you know, the fuqaha have mentioned, the married couples, normal married couples, time to time should renew their nikah. The fuqaha have written this. Do you know why? Because they say that sadly many Muslims, without realizing it, say so many things which can take them so close to the doors of kufr and disbelief, or take them even out of the door of Islam. Just in, Ya Allah, why did you do this to me? You know, in anything we say things that we don't even stop to think what we've said, and we don't even consider later the seriousness of the harm of what we have said, what came out of our mouth. So his friend, he heard all these words and he said, Akafarta, are you doing kufr? Akafarta, have you disbelieved? بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ, in the one who created you, مِن تُرَابٍ, from soil, ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ, and then from a drop of semen, ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا, and then he fashioned you into a man. Are you disbelieving in this person? Where did you come from? Allah made you. Where did everything you have come from? Allah made it. لَكِنَّهُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي, I don't care what you've just said to me, I am telling you now, لَكِنَّ, remember, however, هُوَ اللَّهُ رَبِّي, he, Allah is my Rabb. وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا, and I will never associate any partners with my Rabb. So what's he doing? First of all, he's telling him, but what you're saying is wrong. This can lead you to kufr. And then he's reaffirming his own faith to show that Allah is watching. Ya Allah, whatever this man has said, I am free from it. Because it happens, isn't it? You're sitting with a person, that person says bad things, harmful things, and you say, what are you doing? Are you agreeing to it? So he's making it clear, what you're saying is wrong, and I have separated myself from it. If Allah's adab comes on you, Ya Allah, I had nothing to do with what this man said. He said, you know, he said blasphemous statements. He said wrong statements. لَكِنَّ however, هُوَ اللَّهُ رَبِّي, Allah is my Rabb. وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا, I will not associate any partners with my Rabb. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ, why did you not do this? إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ, when you entered your garden, قُلْتَ, you should have said, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This is what you should have said. When you entered your garden, you should have said, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, this is what Allah has willed. لا قوة إلا بالله, there is no power, ability, strength except from Allah. Because this man is thinking what? Because these trees have grown, this harvest has grown, it's my hard work. Many bij bijwai, I put the seeds in the ground, I did the harvesting, I did the tilling, I did the this, I did the that, it's all my hard work. But he's trying to say to him, look, you did the hard work, but if Allah's hukam, Allah's permission had not been there, Allah had not written it for you, how many farmers, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, farm, harvest, do everything, nothing grows. Bangladesh, the floods come, they wipe everything out. A person's whole livelihood, everything is wiped away, finished, nothing there. People, the harvest grows, that harvest was supposed to be their sustenance for a whole year. A whole year. When the floods come, the whole crops die, they have nothing left. For the whole year, they've got nothing. They understand, I can do my bit, but Allah Ta'ala has to bless us with this. Right? Saying, when you entered your garden, why did you not say, MashaAllah, La quwwata illa billah. This is what Allah has willed. La quwwata illa billah. There's no power except from Allah. That's why the ulama say, in the hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, from here we understand that whenever you see something good, something that pleases you, you should say, MashaAllah. And then we can add to that, La quwwata illa billah. So where MashaAllah comes from. Salafi brothers say, don't say MashaAllah. MashaAllah right here. Right? MashaAllah. Anything you see that is amazing, that pleases you, that amazes you, that astonishes you, makes you happy, MashaAllah, this is what Allah has willed. And then, لا قوة إلا بالله. Many hadith we find. In one hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, whoever says this, then that ni'mah, that blessing Allah has given them, will never finish. It will remain. And it will get better. It will increase. MashaAllah, لا قوة إلا بالله. إِن تَرَنِي أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. So first thing he said, this is wrong what you did. When you entered your garden, the right thing for you to do as someone who believes in Allah is to say, MashaAllah, ke Allah ne sab kuch kiya hai. So what Allah willed. La quwwata illa billah. There's no power, ability except from Allah. One message. Second message, in tarani ana aqalla minka malan walada. If you see me, in tarani, if you see me, أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ, to have more, to be lesser than you, مَالًا, in wealth, وَوَلَدًا, and in children, then فَعَسَى رَبِّي. Basically, if you're looking down upon me, if you're looking down upon me, so this part of the ayah, the end part of ayah 39, إِن تَرَنِي أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَلَدًا, is connected to the next part. That if you see me to be lesser than you, because I have less provisions and I have less children, then فَعَسَى رَبِّي. Then it's very likely, what he's trying to say, don't look down on me. Don't think because I have less wealth and children, I am somehow inferior to you. Because Allah gave you more, Allah gave me less. Allah can turn the tables, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can take everything off you and can give it to me. فَعَسَى رَبِّي, it's possible, very highly likely, it's very, very, very possible for my Rabb, أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي, that He grants me خَيْرًا مِنْكَ, خَيْرًا مِنْ جَنَّةٍ, better than whatever gardens you have. وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, and these gardens that you have, that you are boasting over, Allah can send some natural disaster, husban, a natural occurrence, calamity, disaster from the sky. فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقًا, and it can become like totally wiped out marble, smooth. زَلَقَ, أَزْلَقَ, the Arabic word means smooth, slippery, slippery. So smooth. One is you have ups and downs or uneven ground. زَلَقَ or أَزْلَقَ is where there is nothing, that it's absolutely flat. So he's saying Allah Ta'ala can bring such a natural disaster on your garden that it makes it sa'id. Sa'id means a plain field. A plain zalaqa, which is so smooth there's nothing on it. All of your crops, everything is destroyed. It's absolutely flat and barren earth. Allah can do that to your garden. And Allah can give me something better than your garden. Oh, so he's trying to remind him, Kibay, look, don't fall into this delusion that all of this is mine. Where does this come from? Allah. You're dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustenance, nurturing for your garden to provide for you. If Allah wanted, a natural disaster can come, calamity can come, everything will be wiped out. Similarly, أَوْ يُصْبِحَ مَاؤُهَا غَوْرًا, or else what could Allah ta'ala do? يُصْبِحَ مَاؤُهَا, this water that irrigates the garden, it could become غَوْرًا. غَوْرًا means it could go deep into the ground, deep into the soil. So that's what we see, there's two types of water. Another ayah in the Quran that mentions ghawran. Surah Al-Mulk. So water, when it goes deep into the ground, this is called ghair or ghawr. What that means is, if the water has gone deep into the ground, then it will not irrigate, because the water needs to be on the surface for it to irrigate the harvest, the crops, etc., isn't it? So he's saying it could be that the water is falling there, you see the water, but it goes deep into the ground and it does not suffice to water your crops. فَلَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ لَهُ طَلَبًا, and it will go so deep into the ground, you will not be able to even find it, you will not be able to even reach it. What's the ayah in Surah Al-Mulk with the ghawran? Yeah? قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ, جزاك الله خير, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاؤُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ, say O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاؤُكُمْ غَوْرًا, if all this rainfall was falling from the sky, if it went deep into the ground, فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ, who would bring you water which was flowing, that would actually flow over your crops and it would irrigate them. So Allah's azab, that you see water, it's there but you can't reach it. It's there, but it's not doing anything for your crops. Your harvest is still dying. So he's saying Allah Ta'ala can do that as well. Remember, all of this system happening around you is Allah's plan. You don't have control over any of it. Allah can do this and destroy your crops. Allah can do that and destroy your crops. So wake up and see sense before it's too late. So he's reminding him. So inshallah, we'll stop there. Allah Ta'ala give us all the correct understanding. Next week, inshallah, we'll carry on from there. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. Thank you.